Your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew chapter 9 and Ephesians chapter 4. Hey, worship was awesome this morning. Amen. That was good. Good job, Patricia. We were throwing a curveball and we found a solution. So that was icing worship, and she was one that got that all figured out this week. So I appreciate Patricia getting that figured out because that worked. Matthew chapter 9 and Ephesians chapter 4. If you weren't here last Sunday, this is a series that I'm doing for this month of June. There's four Sundays in June. Now, next Sunday is Father's Day. And like I said, for those of you that weren't here when I was talking about the, you can see in the bulletin, next Sunday being Father's Day at 9:45 a.m., kind of like what we did with moms. We have moms and muffins. Well, this time we have dads and donuts. So, bring your dads, and we'll have donuts and coffee here at the church next Sunday. I got a good friend of mine that's going to be bringing the message next Sunday is Ricky Griffin. He lives in Amarillo, Texas. Some of you know Ricky. Great guy, funny. You'll enjoy him and the message that he has next Sunday. And hopefully his wife will be coming with him as well. And so We'll have a great Sunday next Sunday, but this rest of June I'm doing this series. I was going to do this like one whole message and just, you know, like water hose you on one message with it. And Jada said, I was telling Jada about it, and she said, you need to break that down into three different Sundays because that sounds like a whole lot. And I said, you know, babe, that's a great idea. So that's what I did. And last Sunday, these are all standalone messages, so if you missed last Sunday, that's okay. You can go back online and watch the podcast and everything. Go to hfchurch.com. You can watch it or listen to it. But I talked about something in that we're going to see in Matthew chapter 9 here in just a second. We talked about the crowd, and we talked about there's five different types of crowds that I saw that we looked in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that Jesus encountered in his ministry. And we saw the skeptical crowd, we saw the curious crowd, we saw the excited crowd, we saw the temporal crowd, and then the last one we saw the unaware crowd. And we talked about how that every one of us in this room today, that we all started out in a crowd. Amen? And I just want you to know, Jesus doesn't hate crowds. Jesus loves crowds. He loves crowds. But what Jesus does is he calls people out of the crowd to himself. And so that's kind of the big idea of my message last Sunday was don't follow the crowd, follow Jesus. And so whenever he calls you to follow him. And so I've entitled this The Journey, and our theme scripture is this one right here, Philippians 1 verse 6. This is our theme verse. It says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And the reason why I wanted that to be our theme verse is because as I'm talking about this, I don't want you to lose confidence that you're not following the Lord. I want you to be confident that you are following Jesus, okay? And that the Holy Spirit is at work in you, and that he's in work in all of us at different levels, different times, different seasons for all of us in life. But he's going to carry this on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Every one of us in here are a work in progress. Look at somebody and say, I'm a work in progress. Yeah, don't look at somebody and say, I have arrived and I'm done. I'm complete. You're not complete yet. You're not going to be complete until the day of Christ Jesus. And so I even believe in heaven, when we go to heaven, that we're still going to be learning about God and his majesty and everything about him. But the main scripture, that the main text that we're looking at in the month of June is this Matthew chapter 9. And this passage is very near and dear to my heart, and I'll tell you why here in just a second. But in verse 30, I'm going to jump up to verse 35, even though I have 36 up there. In verse 35 in Matthew chapter 9, it says, then Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, or the crowds, there was always crowds following Jesus, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And I've underlined three different people groups that you see in this passage of Scripture. First of all, there's crowds. The crowds are the multitudes. Jesus loved the crowds. He loved the multitudes. But he calls people out of the crowd to be his disciples. And then there's one step further. We always think, you're going to be a life. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're going to be a lifelong learner or student of Jesus. Amen? It means you're going to be a lifelong disciple. But what happens during this disciple time, God calls you out of being a disciple. Even though you're going to be a disciple for the rest of your life, he calls you into being a worker in his kingdom. And what I want you to, the heart that I wanted to get out last Sunday and to all of us in here is wherever you're working in life, you're advancing the kingdom of God. You are salt and light wherever you're at. I'm going to use myself for an example. I never would have dreamed whenever, it was back in 2018, actually in 2017, whenever I knew that I needed to be bivocational as a pastor, meaning having another supplement my income, is I looked into being a realtor, a real estate agent. So I went and got my real estate license. Little did I know that I have used my pastoral gift in real estate like you would not believe, because there are a lot of emotions involved in real estate. I have learned, yeah. I see Hank and Rhonda back there. They're like, yeah, there's a bunch. And so I've had to learn to help both sides, okay, get the emotions, be at peace, be calm, let's pray through this. You know, I never would have dreamed that. But what I'm trying to say with that is that because I'm a Christian, not because I'm a pastor, but because I'm a Christian, because I'm a disciple of Jesus, I'm using the gifts that God has put into Mark Haney to advance his kingdom out here, outside these four walls. And I want every one of you in here to have this mindset, whatever you do in life, your family, your workplace, or whatever, that is your mission field. And everybody said, amen. I know that when I'm teaching this, kind of the way people's minds go is they start thinking just about church stuff. Well, serving in church, doing this, and yes, we need more servants in the church, all right? But I want you to start seeing your job, your career, your family, everything outside these four walls as your mission field. And so that you're going from crowd to disciple to being a worker or a laborer in God's kingdom. One of the best examples I saw of this was, and I was going to do a video of it, and I probably have to do it on this the last Sunday of this month, but the video, and I'm sure most of you saw it on social media, but the video of Patty Gasso as the head coach of the college, you know, the OU softball team, and how she was even saying that God showed her, you're not just a coach, you're training these young girls up to go out and be wives and mothers one day and be an asset into the communities that they go into, actually to spread the kingdom of God is what she said. And you could see it in those interviews with those girls that they understand what their purpose was, win or lose. They knew what their purpose was in life. And so I'm wanting us to grab a hold of that, because it's not just about what happens here on a Sunday morning. It's about what we're all doing Monday through Saturday. Amen. And how we're spreading the gospel wherever we go. This is kind of our huddle time. It's like, you know, we huddle up, yeah, rah, rah, ree, let's go kick them in the knee, you know, that kind of stuff. That's what's going on here on Sunday mornings, is we get built up and encouraged and we go back out into the harvest fields. And this passage of Scripture was given to me 30 years ago. I think I've got it highlighted in almost every Bible that I have. But there's a lady that lived here in Leedy. Her name was Johnny Faye Glazeman. She's in heaven now. She passed away 2 years ago. Next month is when she passed away. And I had went and seen her before she passed away. She was at an assisted living center in Elk City. And I had went to see her several years ago and just told her what an impact she had made in my life, because I wanted her to hear it from me before she went home to be with the Lord. And I said, and I told Johnny Faye this, I said, Johnny Faye, I said, 30 years ago, you gave me a scripture. I still have it in my first Bible that I have. I still have it in there. And I said, it was just a little phrase. And it said, this is what it said. It said, "You are my workers, saith the Lord." And then she had this scripture reference right here that I just read you, Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. But she had no idea what was going on in our lives at that time. But we had just got saved. Like I said, we'd just been married. We got married in 92. We knew we needed to get our family in church. And so this all happened in 1993. And as we had came out of the crowd following Jesus, then I started feeling the Lord telling me that he was calling me into the ministry, calling me to teach the word, preach the word. And I struggled with it because I was like, first of all, I haven't been to seminary, I hadn't done all these things, and I had a list of things I haven't done. I told Jada about it, and Jada was like, "Really?" At first, she was like, "You're feeling?" And I said, "Yes, honey, I'm feeling this." And her and I talked about it, and said, "Well, we're going to walk this out." So we went to a revival thing that was happening in Elk City, and Johnny Faye Glazeman happened to be playing the piano during this for the worship. And before the worship, she came down and she gave us that. And when she gave that to us, because this is something we'd been talking about and everything, Jade and I just broke down and started weeping. It was just from God. It was like the heavens opened up. And I was like, "God, I'm ready to go to work for you, but I don't know what I'm supposed to do." So that caused the journey to happen. And that was 30 years ago in 1993. It was actually in October of 1993. September of 1993 when she gave us that. And I'll never forget it. And so when I went and saw her at the assisted living center in Elk City, and I was telling her this whole story and just thanking her, and she had tears in her eyes, and she said, "Mark," she goes, "I want to tell you something." She goes, because it was a prophetic word that she came off the stage, and Johnny Faye Glazeman was here in the Methodist church, but she was a spirit-filled Methodist in the Methodist church, and she said, "Mark," she goes, "I'm going to tell you something." She goes, "That has only happened to me twice in my life." And I was like, because I was thinking, this lady does this every day. You know, she just calls people out every day. She goes, "Mark, it's happened twice." And she goes, "And guess what?" And I said, "What?" She goes, "I'm batting 1,000. I'm 2 for 2. She goes, "Really, God's 2 for 2. And I said, "Well, who was the other one?" She goes, "You're not going to believe it. It was another lady boy." And I said, "Who?" And she goes, "Leslie Broadbent." And so Leslie, if you don't know, some of you know Leslie here. He's a pastor in the Methodist church. And I believe he's in Texas now. And she goes, "God, just 2 for 2. You know, and that's the, you two guys were the only ones that God ever told me to do that to." And she, there was something else that she had done for Leslie, and it was confirmation to him as well that that the Lord was calling him to ministry. And I was like, "Well, you're batting 1,000, and I'm just glad I was one of them." And she's in heaven today, and I can't wait to see her one day. She's in our future. Amen? That's where that passage came from, because I don't think I shared that last Sunday. But in this passage of Scripture, there's three stages of growth in life of every believer's progression, which I'm calling the journey, because it's a walk with the Lord. So there's the crowd or the multitude. There's the disciple, which also means learner, student. Then he calls you into being a worker or laborer. You're constantly, all the time, being a disciple, a learner, a student. And he wants us to be the workers and laborers in his kingdom. And the first two mainly focus on receiving. When you're in the crowd, when you're with the multitude, when you're also being a disciple, you're receiving things from the Lord. And when you focus on being a worker or laborer in his harvest, that's when you're actually giving out the things that he's given to you. Amen? And he wants us to get from the receiving to giving. He wants you to keep receiving from him, but keep receiving, but keep start giving. Start giving it out, ministering to others. All right, now I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 4, and I want to show you some things in this passage of Scripture. Ephesians chapter 4, this is verses 11 through 16. It says, "And he himself," talking about Jesus, "gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." Everybody say some. Okay, I want you to get that. Verse 12 says, "For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I'm going to talk to you about this. This passage of Scripture talks about the fivefold ministry gifts, or the fivefold ministry offices that Jesus has given to the church. And when I talk about the church, I'm talking about the big C. And as long as there is a church in the earth, Jesus is still giving these gifts to the church. Amen? Still giving apostles. They didn't just go away in the book of Acts, okay? Still giving apostles, still giving prophets, still giving evangelists, still giving pastors and teachers, all right? And so these are what we call the gifts of Jesus, or the office gifts that Jesus gives to the church, the big C. And I'm going to say something today, and I know this is going to sound a little conceited, but I am a gift from God. I just had to say that publicly. I'm going to go home and tell Jada that later, and it won't go that well, probably. She knows, she sees me as a gift sometimes, and sometimes you're not such a gift. So I am a gift from Jesus to the church, because Jesus called me out of the crowd to be a disciple, and as I've been walking with him being a disciple, then he began to reveal to me, Mark, I've called you to be a shepherd or a pastor. God called me to be a pastor and a teacher, and it's what I do. It just comes out of me. I was on the phone the other day with somebody that I don't even know, and we never have even talked before. And while I'm talking to this guy on the phone, he begins to tell me his whole life story. And it's because that pastoral gift is within me, and it just draws it out of people. And I've had to learn, Mark, don't deny that gift. Don't push that gift aside. Don't be ugly about, you know, don't turn people off because I don't want my gift to work right now because I'm too busy and I don't have time for you. Amen? And so in that situation, I was on the phone, I looked at Jade, and I was like, here it goes. I'm hearing this guy's whole life story, and I don't even know him, right? But it's that, and what I've learned, and this has happened to me more than once in life, is, and I've even, Jade and I, it's a joke, Jade and I'll look at Jade, and I'm like, do I have, tell me your whole life story stamped on my forehead? You know, because I'll go into restaurants or businesses or wherever, and it'll just happen. But God began to show me, no, Mark, that is a gift that I've put in you, and I want you to use it for my kingdom. Not just at church. It's not just a church gift on Sunday mornings. It's every day of the week, all the time. And he goes, and I want you to be on all the time so you can use that gift whenever it happens. And the reason why I say that is because even though I don't know all of my gifts, I know that's one of them. And when you start understanding what God has gifted you with, then you can really start using it for his kingdom. And that's not being arrogant or prideful or anything like that. That's just knowing who you are in Christ and using it for his kingdom and glory. And so I encourage you to figure out what your gifts are and to use them for his kingdom and for his glory. Verse 11, the reason why I had you say after me the word some is because I just want you to realize that there's not everybody's called to be an apostle, not everybody's called to be a prophet, not everybody's called to be an evangelist, not everybody's called to be a pastor or teacher. It says some. And I'm going to tell you something about it. It's not, a lot of people think, well, you know, he's the pastor. He's always up there in the limelight. No, there is way more responsibility on me than you can ever imagine. Because the Bible even says I'll be judged on how I lead you guys. So I want to lead right. And I have a holy fear of God when his word says that. And I want to lead people in the truth. And so that most important word there is some. And the ones that are called in those gifts, they have a huge responsibility. And I want you to realize, because I think some of you in here, I know you've been in church some, and you've heard this taught probably about the fivefold ministry. But it's really, when you really study this scripture out, that passage, it's really a sixfold ministry. Because the sixth, and I'll show you it when you go back, verse 11 says, and he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. That's where we get the fivefold ministry gifts. But what they're called to do, all five of those have one function, and that's to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So the sixfold ministry is you got to have saints. Look at somebody and say, you're a saint. You're actually a saint. We're all saints in here. I'm Saint Mark today. That's Saint Stacy back there. Yeah, she just raised her hand. And so call yourself a saint. You are a saint. And so you're called into this sixfold ministry as a saint. You're to be doing the work of the ministry. What's bad about the body of Christ is over the last whatever 100 years or even more is we have decided that, no, we're going to hire a pastor and he's going to do all the ministry work. That's not even scriptural, okay? My job is to equip you for the work of the ministry, not you to pay me to be up here to do all the ministry. Well, if somebody needs prayer, we're calling Pastor Mark. Yeah, call me. I want to pray for him. But God's equipped you to pray for him. Amen? God's equipped you to witness to them. So all five offices, I want you to see that, have the same ministry function, and that is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Now, because we're breaking this down, crowd, disciple, and then worker or laborer. I'm going to talk about disciple today, and I'm going to make it very simple because I don't want to, because when I was studying this, I was like, Lord, how do we be a disciple? How do you do that? And I don't want this to come, you know, be that I've got to know every book of the Bible and I've got to know, I got to be able to, you know, memorize scripture. I've got to know where this is at in the Bible. I've got to know that. God doesn't, that's part of it. God does want you to study, to show yourself approved, but God really wants you just to be available. Amen. And a lot of people don't start being a disciple because they think they've got to know all this other stuff and be cleaned up and goody-two-shoes and all that, and that's not it. God's going to be working on you until the day you go home to be with him. Amen? You're a work in progress. Ain't that right, Judy? We're all a work in progress, and we none of us have arrived. And so don't wait until, I'm going to wait until this happens. I'm going to wait till I get my act cleaned up. I'm going to wait till I quit cussing. I'm going to wait. Be like Peter and cuss all the way, okay? You know, and you can still be a disciple of Jesus. We've made this way too hard, and even though it is hard, you're going to have to count some costs. You're going to have to make some sacrifices too. But Jesus, he'll clean you up as you go. The Holy Spirit will, I promise you. He just wants your heart. He wants you to be available. So here's how to be a disciple. I'm going to make this very simple. There's only three things I'm going to give you. And you can write those down on the back of your bulletin. Here's number one, is a prayer life. Okay? Prayer. And what prayer is simply is just talking to God. That's it. And you may want to start by blessing your food, you know, when you eat. And that's an amazing thing. That's something that we started in our house when Taya was real little. And then as Taya got older, then she would pray, and I would hear her say the same things that I would say in my prayer, you know. And that's how you teach your children, is at home, by praying with them like over meals, praying with them at bedtime, those kind of things, sowing those seeds during those times. And it's just talking with God. A lot of people think, well, let's call Pastor Mark because he's a professional prayer. I'm not a professional prayer, okay? I'm just like you. I'm just a disciple, and it's just talk to God. Amen. And pray his word. And I'm going to read this scripture to you. It's in Luke with prayer life. Number one's prayer life. The scripture here is in Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. And it says, now it came to pass as he was praying, talking about Jesus, in a certain place, when he ceased praying, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. And this always has fascinated me because these guys have been walking with Jesus for 3.5 years, and they'd seen Jesus do signs, wonders, and miracles. They saw him heal the sick. They saw him cast out demons. They saw him raise the dead. The one thing that they asked Jesus that they must have seen him do a lot is the one thing they asked him to do to teach them how to do it is how to pray like you do. because we see you getting up before we get up in the morning, and you go off to a solitary place and you pray, or after a big meeting and the crowds and multitudes are there, after they all go home or whatever, you go off somewhere and you pray, and then you come back, and we've been seeing you doing this pattern a lot, and so Lord, teach us to pray. And he says also that John the Baptist also taught his disciples to do the same thing. And in verse 2 it says, so he said to them, when you pray, say, and he gives this is not, even though you can pray this and, you know, memorize this and pray this, this is just like a template for prayer. It's a model of prayer. First of all, he says you want to start off with worship. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's saying basically be concerned about what God's concerned about. Ask for his kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. All right, worship the Father. And then he says, then get into your needs, okay? So the first of all, start off with praise and worship. Talk about what God wants. Verse 3, give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. So he's talking about, first of all, your needs, and then he says, forgive us our sins, your relationship with him, make sure there's no blockages there, and then your relationship with other people. Talking about that. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So he's talking about keep us safe from the enemy, because we know he's always out on the prowl. Amen. And so every little bitty thing that's going on in your life, God wants you to pray about it. This last week, I had a situation happen in real estate over a septic tank. I was talking to the Lord about septic tank. God cares about poop, okay? I'm just telling you, the poop that you're going through in life. And you know what? God worked it all out, too, for the good. And in the beginning, I didn't think this thing was going to work out for the good, but then it all did. God knows septic tanks better than anybody I know. You know, and the reason why I say that, and I know it's funny and comical, but God wants you to take all these little bitty things that are, because this bothered me. I was losing sleep at night over a septic tank. So I had to take that to the Lord and say, Lord, help me with this situation. Who to call, who to contact. I need favor with this, favor with that. And he worked it all out. It took about a week, but it didn't happen in my timeline. So I wanted it worked out by the next day, but it took about a week to work this all out. But I took a septic tank to the Lord because it was bothering me. It was causing me problems. And I know we laugh about that, but what I'm trying to tell you, in your prayer life, God wants you to take those kind of things to him. God's not too busy for a septic tank. Amen. I don't know where that came from, so I'm blessing. If you have a septic tank today, I'm blessing it in the name of the Lord. All right. Amen. All right, here's number two. Number two is your word life, about getting into the Word of God. All right. And I'm not talking about memorizing great passages of Scripture and that you're. And even this, I'm going to take it just a load off. It may just be one scripture a day. A pastor friend of mine, what he's teaching his church to do, he calls it turn the page. He said, I'm just asking them to read one page in the Bible a day. And he calls it turn the page. And then he says on that one page, whatever they read in their Bible, I'm encouraging them, whatever they read, to journal and just write down what they felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to them when they read that one page in the Bible. Or maybe one, you may want to start off with one chapter, one paragraph, whatever. But just get into a habit of reading the Word. We have devotionals here that we give people. You know, maybe it's just a scripture a day. It's amazing how God will bring that back up. You read a scripture and then later on that week something happens and God brings that Word back up. It's actually the Holy Spirit working through his word to bring that back up to help you in a situation. How many of you ever had that happen before? It's pretty cool. That's the Holy Spirit at work. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 says this, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, which means teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When you get in the word is for you. I don't get into the Word of God for Jada and say, well, Jada, I read in the Word today what a wife is supposed to be. That's not my job. That's the Holy Spirit's job. If you do that, you're not going to be married very long, I promise you, okay? But that when you get in the Word, let the Word speak to you. Amen? All right. I'm going to give you a couple examples that I've had happen in my life to kind of help you out with this. There was a guy here. He's not here no more. Okay, so don't be looking around saying, "Who is this guy?" It was years ago here at the church, and any time that I misquoted a scripture, or I maybe had transposed numbers, because I've done that before, with a scripture reference, or it was just, where I shared the wrong scripture. I didn't mean to. My heart was right, but I just shared the wrong scripture. This guy was at the door when we leave, and he'd always correct me every time, to the point where I was like, good grief, God. This is what was going on. I was like, man, this guy knows the Word of God. I mean, it was impressive. I mean, he had scripture memorized. He knew this, he knew that, and he knew when I screwed up, when I was preaching up here and teaching. And one day, and it was bothering me because I was like, it got to the point, and this is between me and the Lord, but it got to the point where I was almost, it would mess up my preaching and my teaching, because I'm like, I got to make sure I get this right, because this dude's going to hammer me at the end of the service. I mean, I'd have those thoughts, right? And one day I was praying about this with the Lord, and I said, Father, I said, I've got to have some relief on this, because this guy's really, it's really getting to me personally. And he said, Mark, that's all. But he said, what happens is whenever you get knowledge in the Word, this is what you got to be careful about in word life, okay, is knowledge of the Word can actually puff you up, is what the Bible says, can cause pride to the point where I know more about the Word than you do. In fact, you mispronounce that passage of scripture, I know it better than you do. That's not what you're supposed to do with the Word, okay? What the Holy Spirit is wanting to know is the Word working on you. Amen. And the Lord began to show me, he said, Mark, this man is, I love him. He's one of my disciples, but the Word is puffing him up, instead of him letting the Word work on him. And so don't be like that. Let the Word work on you. Let the Word, and just let him. And so, and that, for some, that little conversation that I had with God about is the Word working on you just freed me up. Because it doesn't matter how much you come up to me and tell me the Word of God. I want to know, is it working in your life? How's your marriage? How's your family? How are your relationships? Because that's bottom line, that's where the Word wants to work at in our hearts and in our lives, in our relationship with the Father, in our relationship with other people. And everybody said, amen. Got another story for you, okay? Once you've been in this for 30 years, you get some stories. Well, there was another person that one time had left the church, and he shook my hand and he said, you and I got to talk. I was like, well, that sounds great. And it didn't sound like a very good talk when he said that to me. And so when I talked to him, he goes, I just got to know why you don't use the King James Version. I said, well, there's other translations. And he said, well, the King James is correct. And I said, well, yeah, but there's other ones that are correct too. And he was like, well, the King James Version is like word for word, and it's the best translation there is, and that's the word, that's the Bible that you need to be using. I said, well, the reason why I don't use it is because people don't talk Elizabethan English anywhere around here today. They don't say thee, thou, and that kind of stuff. And so I use New King James Version a lot, even NIV, because that helps, because I'm trying to help people get into the Word of God and not scare them away from it. And they're like, I can't say thee, thou, and all that kind of stuff. And he was really upset because I didn't use the King James Version. And I'm like, really? That's what we're going to, here's what I'm trying to tell you. That's not word life. That's word death, okay? You've got to have the Spirit behind the Word at work in your life. And if you want to get real technical with it, and I had to get real technical with the guy, I said, if you really want to get real technical with it, you need to go be a Hebrew scholar, and because that's how the Old Testament was written, was Hebrew, and then you need to be a Greek scholar because that's what the New Testament was written in, and then you're going to really know the Word of God. Amen. Okay, so I'll get off my soapbox there for a little bit. So what I'm trying to say, and I'm trying to help you all out, is because you're going to run into people like that they get hung up on a translation, or they get hung up on memorizing scripture and knowing where, you know, the scripture references are at and all that stuff. And that's all great and it's all good. But when you get knowledge that way, the Bible says it puffs up. It makes you prideful. What God's wanting that word to do is actually this right here, is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The word, really, to be honest with you, is supposed to humble us so that we learn and that we grow and be like Christ. And everybody said amen. Okay. Everybody learning something today? All right, here's number three, your serving life. So I broke this down into three areas: your prayer life, your word life, your serving life. Your serving life is just what I love to see is when people get saved and God does a work in their heart, and I can always tell the ones that do. For instance, I'm looking at Darren Smallwood back there. God has done such a great work in this young man's heart. He's either up here playing the djembe and raising his hands, or he's back here doing the sound booth with Travis Day, learning it and raising his hands back there and worshiping. He just wants to serve anywhere. Or he even comes out here and mows with Clark. He just wants to serve anywhere because God has done a work in his heart and because he loves Jesus. And so whenever you get saved, something ought to happen in your heart. The first, and I remember when I first got saved and really came back to the Lord and everything, the first thing that I wanted to do, because I just wanted to show how much I love the Lord, is I want to serve. I want to do something for the Lord. Amen. And the particular church that I was in, I heard that they needed help in their Royal Rangers deal. I had no clue what Royal Rangers was about. And then I found out it was kind of like Boy Scouts kind of deal. And so I got involved in that and was in that for several years and enjoyed it and got to minister to a lot of little boys. And we had fun camping out and doing things. And I got some great stories about camping out with kids and even seeing God move with these young boys and stuff. And then it was actually through Royal Rangers where God began to show me, Mark, I've called you to be a pastor. And it was through that, through serving, where the gifts start. Your gifts will start being made known to you when you start serving. And even if that is running a vacuum across the church floor, as you start serving, your gifts, God will start making your gifts come up and showing you what they are. All right, I'm going to show you something, and I'm going to do a real jet tour of this real quick in the serving life, because a lot of times we think about the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, and all these guys, but I want you to know that they started off, they were disciples of the Lord Jesus. But I want you to see what they call themselves. Talking about serving, this is what they say. Romans 1:1 says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. I want you to notice how he says, I'm a servant first. He doesn't go around telling them, I'm a big shot and I'm an apostle. He says, I'm actually a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:1, here it is again. Philippians 1:1, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and the deacons. Go again, 2 Peter 1:1, Simon Peter, here he says, I'm a bondservant and an apostle of Jesus Christ to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Y'all starting to get it? That they're servants first. Jude 1:1, Jude says, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. And you might be saying, golly, boy, these guys knew that they were servants first. How did they learn that? I'm going to show you. Mark chapter 9, verses 33 through 35. It says, then he came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, what was it you disputed among yourselves on the road? This is Jesus talking to the disciples. He knew that they were arguing amongst themselves as they were walking down the road. It says, but they kept silent, okay, for on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. That was the first pastor's conference right there. In verse 35, it says, and he sat down and he called the 12 and he said to them this. He says, if any one of you desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. So if you want to be first in my kingdom, you got to be a servant. God's kingdom is totally different, is upside down from the kingdom of this world. The kingdom of this world says how many people are underneath of you, and in God's kingdom, God's saying how many people are above you. How many people are you serving? Amen. Totally opposite than the kingdom of this world. Ephesians 4:16, this is my last scripture this morning, says this, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And so what happens is when we're all serving together, it's not just one person serving, but it's all serving together. When we start serving together, it's like joints in your body. We all start connecting and coming together, and we then we're able to show the whole world the body of Christ. But it can't just take the pinky. We all got to be connected together. Everybody got that? We all got to be serving together, and then we show this world the Lord Jesus. Did that help somebody today on how to be a disciple? It's very easy. Prayer life, your word life, and then your serving life. And I encourage you, we got places to serve here in the church as well. But I want you to start not just in the church, but I want you to take this mentality, this mindset into the world that's around you, into your career, your workplaces, your families, your marriages, and start this prayer life, start this word life, and start serving one another. Amen? And that's when you're going to grow as a disciple. The next time we get together, I'm going to talk more. I'm going to kind of bring this all together, the crowd, the disciple, and the worker, and laborer in God's harvest. And that'll be the last Sunday of this month, June the 25th. Next Sunday, again, is Father's Day, so please get the word out. We're going to have donuts with Dad. Bring your dad to church, and we're going to have a good time. And Ricky Griffin will be here next Sunday, and it'll be really good. But with that, we're going to close. So I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And I'm going to do this every Sunday that we meet together. Those that are here and those that are watching online, those that will be listening to this by radio, and just want to make sure that everyone here knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior before we go home. And it's real simple. The Bible says that if we just confess with our mouth, believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead on that third day, then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so I believe that God is calling many people out of the crowd today to follow him as a disciple, to be a lifelong learner. And I just want to have the honor and the privilege of leading you in this prayer to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer with him. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. All right, I want everybody to stand up in here. And Jada, will you come up here? And we're going to speak a blessing over you. And want everybody to have a great rest of your Sunday, whatever you got planned. And is everybody a disciple in here? Amen. All right. I'm going to speak this blessing over you today. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Hug somebody's neck and say, I am a disciple of Jesus. And have a blessed week. Gonna be some brighter days. I swear that love will find you in your pain.